Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to the Betting Above the Rim podcast. Today's day, June 24th, episode 63. In today's podcast, we get into a bunch of topics. Now it's draft week. But before we get off with the draft, we got to talk about breaking news. Obviously, one, Shams Charania reports that Donovan Mitchell looks like he's going to sign an extension with the Cleveland Cavs. We'll talk about that and how it ties into the fact that Kenny Atkinson just got named head coach of the Cleveland Cavaliers. We'll look at Cleveland moving forward. How are they going to look in the future? Next, Scotty Barnes signs a massive, or going to sign a massive, 5 years up to $270 million contract extension with the Toronto Raptors. Now that Siakam is gone, this is Scotty Barnes' team. We'll talk about the long-term future in the North. Next, we'll go to my mock top five as we're a couple of days away from the draft. Remember, we'll have draft coverage starting on Wednesday. Myself, Kevin Walsh, Ben Stevens, I'll be on for the draft coverage starting at 7:30 p.m. I'll also be doing some draft coverage 6 to 8 with K-Dub on Thursday, along with some appearances live from Bell Works. Next, we go to the W. And finally, Angel Reese got Caitlin Clark. But it's the fact that it was beautiful basketball by both teams. No hip checks, no flagrant fouls, no press conferences, just ball. And I was all there for it. We'll talk about this rivalry, I guess you'll call it, and why it's great for the league. Speaking of the W, the best record in the WNBA now resides in the New York Liberty. Are they the favorites to win the WNBA championship? But let's get started in Cleveland, where earlier today, Shams Charania reported that the Cavaliers were working on two fronts. And I want to start with this front first. Donovan Mitchell probably is going to sign a contract extension with Cleveland. Simply put, folks, we all know where Spider wanted to go, and that was New York. It doesn't make sense for the Knicks now with the emergence of Jalen Brunson. Plus, you know how I feel about two small backcourts. Then you go look at Brooklyn. And if you look at what Brooklyn is going to have to give up to get Donovan Mitchell, it doesn't make sense for Spider. So the best thing for him to do is to get paid and stay. This is a franchise that with the coaching hire that I love to death can maybe springboard this team that whether you like how they went about it or not, still made the second round of the Eastern Conference playoffs. And a team that I think is firmly entrenched as a top 5/6 seed in the East. Spider Mitchell is an unbelievable talent. He's an unbelievable scorer. But what Spider needed is he needed an upgrade in coaches, and he needs a better roster around him to succeed. And that's important these days, folks, because if you're Spider Mitchell, no matter where you were going to go if you wanted to get traded, think about all that they would have to give up to get you. It doesn't make sense for him. You have a home. You have a franchise that believes in you. And you got tradable assets to make this team better. But before we get to the tradable assets, let's bring up what they did for coaches. Folks, I've been on this network since 2021. And every time a head coaching job opens up, I scream and I pound my fist to the desk. Go get Kenny Atkinson. I have seen it. I saw what he did with Linsanity in New York. I saw what he did as an assistant in Atlanta. I saw the culture that he brought to Brooklyn with D'Angelo Russell elevating his game. Spencer Dinwiddie elevating his game. Jared Allen elevating his game. Caris LeVert elevating his game. Simply put, Kenny Atkinson is one of the best skill development guys on planet Earth. And he's done it at a multitude of stops. And he left Brooklyn because he saw the nonsense that was going to go on with that franchise. And he did something smart. First, he went to the Clippers with Ty Lue. And then he went to Steve Kerr and worked with them. And to me, when you leave as a head coach, you're always better the second time around or third time around. But when you leave and you go to a franchise as iconic and with the winning tradition of Golden State over the last decade, to sit next to a Steve Kerr and to be around guys like Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green. If you look at Jonathan Kuminga's development, folks, look at Kenny Atkinson. The guy can develop talent. And now that he went to Golden State and learned that split screen offense, split screen, if you guys know that, if you don't know what that means, you set a screen somewhere at the elbow, outside the elbow area, one cuts to the basket, one cuts to the ball. It's kind of a Princeton concept, a Princeton on steroids. You mix in what he learned from Steve Kerr and the players that he has in Cleveland, the way he can develop them, and you think it's going to succeed. Look what Sacramento did with Mike Brown. A guy that was kind of the defensive coordinator, had been fired a couple of times. Same thing, went to Steve Kerr's staff, and has obviously improved and done a great job with Sacramento, and he just got his extension, much deserved, to Mike Brown, one of the more underrated coaches in the NBA and very much underappreciated. But Kenny gets a shot. And I think this is such a great thing for this franchise because they need stability. They need someone that can develop. So now it brings me to the tough part. What do you do? Simply put, folks, I can't run it back with Garland and Mitchell. I can't run it back with a 6'3 and a 6'1 guard. You need a stronger defender. And if you're going to go with Spider, which I would because he's the better player, then you can move Darius Garland. Folks, think about this. A Darius Garland that some people think has more trade value than Trae Young. Now, I disagree with that wholeheartedly. I love Trae. But still, there are some executives that think that this guy is more worthy than Trae Young. So think about what you can get in return if you're Cleveland. Let's slide down to the center position for Jared Allen and Evan Mobley. Evan Mobley probably should be signed some kind of contract extension this summer. And Evan Mobley, that I was like, hey, you know what? I want to keep Evan Mobley. Then I want to keep Jared Allen. Then I want to keep Evan Mobley. Then I want to keep Jared Allen. And then Jared Allen went out and didn't play at all in the Eastern Conference semifinals. And then I saw that performance, a 35-point performance that Evan Mobley hung up in the playoffs, in the elimination game. I said, that's it. That's it. I'm keeping Evan Mobley. Because if he could if let me be honest. If Kenny Atkinson can develop Jared Allen, Evan Mobley's a better Jared Allen. Just as good of a rim protector, maybe not as great as a rebounder, but way more dynamic as an offensive threat. And if he could ever get him out to the three-point line, that would be amazing for a guy in Evan Mobley that I think had averaged about 16 points and nearly 10 rebounds a game. But you got to figure out some other parts. What do you want to do with a Caris LeVert, someone that's got a history with Kenny Atkinson? Can he get Max Strus to be more consistent? Can he unlock Isaac Okoro, who's going to be an unrestricted free agent? What do they do? Cleveland's got some interesting decisions to make moving forward. They got the first part right and trying to get that contract extension for Donovan Mitchell. And they got the second part right by hiring Kenny Atkinson. What a fantastic hire by the Cleveland Cavaliers. Let's move on to Scotty Barnes. I almost jumped the gun. I almost went to the NBA draft, man. I caught myself. Scotty Barnes is going to get that back. 5-year rookie extension worth $270 million. A player in Scotty Barnes who nearly averaged 20 points, 8 rebounds, and 6 assists a game this past year. A Scotty Barnes that if he can get a jump shot could be one of the best two-way players in the league. And it really brings up an interesting case in this team in Toronto. Gary Trent Jr. is an unrestricted free agent. I expect him to go. So now you're building it with Emmanuel Quickley, who should be getting an extension. You should be getting paid. Scotty Barnes, RJ Barrett. That's a good young 1-2-3. Bruce Brown has a team option. If I am Toronto, I exercise it and then I move him. Jakob Poeltl, don't do it for me. If you want to keep him, go ahead. Kelly Olynyk, 33 years old, trade him, get what you can get out of him. Maybe you got to play a little bit more of Grady Dick, who'll be the second-year player out of Kansas. See what you got out of him. You got Obagi in a trade. He's got a team option. You got to exercise that and see what you got out of him. But you got a star, I think, of Scotty Barnes. Scotty Barnes that's really, I think, I'm going to go over and say he's probably one of the five best defenders in the world with his size, with his length, his ability to guard multiple positions. But his offensive game has taken a serious uptick. And I think that's what you got to see out of Scotty is, yes, he has shot the ball really, you know, scoring the ball well this past year. But if I am teams and I am looking at Scotty Barnes, it's simply put, he's got to shoot that J better. He's got to be better scoring the ball from the three-point line because teams are going to sack off him. Pascal's gone. It's his team now. And if you look at his stats for this past year, you know, he scored nearly 20 points a game. Shot at 34.1%. That's a career high. Shot at 78%. It's a career high from the free throw line. 8.2 rebounds, career high. 6.1 assists, career high. 1.5 blocks, career high. 1.3 steals, career high. If I can get his three-point shooting percentage to about 37, 38%, this is the kind of guy you build a whole franchise around. And it'll be interesting when you look at a team like Toronto, where do they go forward? Because it's obviously a rebuilding process for the Toronto Raptors. A Toronto Raptors team that will pick 19th in the draft. And I do believe, I'm not mistaken, they have the first draft pick, number 31, of round number two. We'll see what happens. Speaking of the draft, make sure you tune in to Sports Grid for all our draft coverage. It's going to start off Wednesday morning, folks, with the early line with Donnie Wrightside and Ben Stevens. I'll jump on with them at some point, probably in the 10 o'clock hour, to start to talk draft day stuff. And then myself, Kevin Walsh, Ben Stevens, Ben's running the point, Kevin's running one wing, I'm running the other wing. This is your place to be for the NBA draft. No one runs a point like Ben Stevens. Kevin knows the books as well as anyone. And I can give you my coaching take as picks are made and how they fit. Thursday, coast to coast with Pharrell, lion's share. I don't think we'll do lion's share. I'll probably be on for an hour while the draft is going on. Remember, draft starts at 4 p.m. on Thursday. And then Kevin and I will do 6 to 8 from the Bellworks Studios. And last note, Betting Above the Rim show, myself, Scotty Pharrell, this coming weekend, 29-30, these will be our last two shows of Betting Above the Rim, the show. The podcast will stay, and we'll still do twice a week, maybe even three times if they need us for breaking news. But make sure you tune in to our draft coverage on Wednesday night. Speaking of the draft, with it being about 48 hours away now, we're recording. It's Monday. Obviously, it's been released on Tuesday. I want to give you my top five picks in the NBA draft. Starting with number one, Zachary Richichet. Folks, I don't want to hear it. I was first. I told people damn near 1 month ago, after Atlanta won the draft lottery, that I was taking Richichet number one. When he was at plus 425, I said, Richichet's going number one. Well, hot damn. Who's the big minus money favorite to go number one in the draft? Zachary Richichet. Hopefully you had jumped on this earlier enough because the train has left the station. Zachary Richichet is my number one player to come off the board on Wednesday's draft. This draft has only changed one player I've changed from the last time we did this on this podcast several weeks ago. Number one, Zachary Richichet. Number two, Alex Sorry. Simply put, Alex Sorry does not want to go to Atlanta. He won't work out for the Hawks. Now, you could say he doesn't want to work out for the Hawks because he's French. And the last time Quinn Snyder had a big French center, his name was Rudy Gobert, and he didn't let Rudy do a damn thing except block shots and look like the Eiffel Tower. Regardless, Washington has the number two pick during the Pixar. Now, what people, before I go on for the rest of my top five, what people understand, there's been reports that Atlanta is trying to make people think, namely Washington, that they may take SAR 1. Folks, they don't want SAR. They can't even get him in the building. But they know Washington wants SAR. Simply put, if I'm the Washington Wizards, I call their bluff. I dare them to take Alex SAR 1 when I'm stepping onto that facility for a workout. And if I'm watching, I'm okay with Richichet. But simply put, I think it's a smokescreen. If Washington's smart, I don't fall for it. Number one pick, Zachary Richichet. Number two, second pick, Alex Sorry. Number three, this is where I'm a little bit different. I'm going Donovan Clingan. I wonder if I can create a Rudy Gobert, Karl-Anthony Towns in Houston. Somewhere Ime Udoka really prioritizes defense. He was a great defensive coach, was the defensive coordinator, obviously, for that Nets team for that 1 year with Steve Nash. Did a great job of building that defense in Boston as a head coach. He is a disciple of Pop, who's a defensive coach. Klingon, to me, while he's not the favorite, it's Shepard. Klingon makes sense for me because Klingon allows you to move Şengün to the four where he doesn't get bully balled inside. Şengün's got a secretly good touch, and I think they're a dynamic 4-5 combination, and then you figure out what you want to do. Do you trade Jabari Smith? Do you trade Thompson? Right? I know Shepard is being talked about at three, but for me, I don't take Reed there because he's a small guard. And what are you going to do? You're going to play him in the backcourt with Fab Five Freddy or Fred VanVleet? Or are you going to take him and you're going to move Jalen Green? Right? Still, small backcourt. I don't think Shepard could be a point. Right? But you also have other guys like a Cam Whitmore who showed he can score coming off the bench. To me, I go big here. I go clinging here at number three. Number four, Stephen Castle. I love this kid. Now, he's putting himself out there as a point guard because that's what he wants to play. Simply put, Castle was not a point guard at UConn because they have Tristan Newton. No need to play him at the point. But I tell you this much, that boy can defend. That boy is put your ass in jail defender. And if he gets his jump shot right, it makes sense. So when you think about a team like San Antonio, it makes sense for Castle to go there. Because you put Castle there, he's an upgrade over Trey Jones. Trey Jones will go to the bench. You can use him as trade bait. You can now play Castle at the point with Devin Vassell at the two if that's what you want to do. Maybe you may not want to do that. Maybe you want to go with a three-guard lineup. That would be something we would talk about during draft night at the number eight pick. By the way, if I'm number eight and I'm San Antonio and EV's there, I'm taking Dalton Connect. I'm taking him at Dalton. I'm going with a new backcourt of Castle and Connect with Wembanyama, and I'm going young, and I'm going to figure it out with Sohan. Figure out what you want to do with Keldon Johnson. Collins can go, but that's what I would do. I would go Castle 4, Connect 8. Rounding up the top five, I'm going to go with Reed Shepard. I don't think – now, Bazulas is very much targeted here. But I don't know if I go with Bazulas at this spot because I loved – and maybe this is me. Me and Kevin Walsh may be part more than anyone of the Thompson fan club. I love Asur Thompson. 8.8, 6.4, 1.9. I think he's a 3-and-D guy. So I don't think Bazulas fits here, right? Unless you try to play Thompson at the four. Also, I think Isaac Stewart is gone. To me, I'm intrigued by Reed Shepard. And you're like, all right, coach, whoa, wait a minute. You just said a little while ago that you don't want to go with a small, too small backcourt in Garland and Spider. Right? Garland 6'1". Spider is 6'3". Remember, folks, Kay Cunningham is 6'6". And Reed Shepard is 6'2" and a damn freak athletically. So that can allow you to maybe go small, go three-guard lineup, or maybe Jaden Ivey gets moved. Because I don't know if the Cunningham-Ivey thing is going to fit. Folks, we don't even know who the hell is going to be the damn coach of Detroit, so that may have something to do with it, too. But right now, my guess, going into Wednesday night, Richesse 1, Sar 2, Klingon 3, Castle 4, Shepard 5. That is the way I would go right now with my draft. And if you want me to tell you real quick, if that's where I would go, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, Bazulas, T. John Salon, Dalton Connect, Devin Carter, Nikola Topic. That would be my top 10. But there's my top five right there. Be sure to tune in to SportsGrid for all our coverage of the NBA draft on Wednesday and Thursday. Let's go from one NBA draft They're the two highest profile players in the WNBA draft this past year, and that's Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese. And boy, what a performance as a girl dad, as someone that loves this women's game. And I'm not some guy who just started talking to W this year. I've been talking to W since I came on this network. I've spent time with some of the best college coaches in the country. I love this game. Oh, I loved what I saw yesterday. 88-87 win by the Chicago Sky over the Indiana Fever. Simply put, Caitlin Clark, fantastic. 17, 14, 6, 4, 5 out of 9 from 3. How you doing? Angel Reese, 25, 16, 8 out of 12, 9 out of 11 from the foul line. How you doing? She's not on there. Aaliyah Boston, 18 points. How you doing? Cardoso, the center out of South Carolina, double-double. How you doing? It was beautiful to watch because, number one, folks, we weren't talking about anything to do with hip checks and fouls and flagrants. It was just a beautiful game to watch. And simply put, these, whether you like either one or not, I don't care. I love both of them for what they're doing to the WNBA, which is bringing it up. I challenged Angel Reese last week on this network. I said, stop worrying about the refs. Stop worrying about trying to bait calls and saying Caitlin Clark gets this call. I don't get that call. I just say, girl, go to damn work. You know what? She did. Became the only player in the WNBA this season to have multiple games of 15 and 15. Became the first rookie to give you 25 and 15 in a game. And she took that game over in the fourth quarter. Shout out to Angel Reese. That's what we've been waiting for. That's the game that I was looking for. I needed you to dominate on the boards, but turn around and finish and stop worrying about everybody else. Run your race, Angel. Don't let anybody run your race for you. You run your own race. You don't need the media. You don't need me. You don't need anybody else. Just play your game, and the result will follow. And we saw that. As for Caitlin Clark, she was beautiful in her game. She did everything she needed to do. She didn't have to. Listen, Chrissy Sides, we could talk about what's going on with her. I try not to knock coaches too much because I'm a coach myself. And I hate when other coaches ever did it to me. They had to find a way to get her more involved in with the ball. I also felt at times Aaliyah Boston was not being used adequately enough. But simply put, Caitlin Clark is really starting to play well. I think it's been the ability to practice. I think it's been the ability to be around her teammates and build camaraderie and build chemistry between them. This is a Caitlin Clark that has struggled at times from the three-point line. Four of the last five games, she shot at least 43% from three. Right? Last four games, she shot at least 45.5% from the floor. She's playing better. Now, she turns the ball over way too much. We know this, but her usage rate is going to be high. It is what it is. But with Caitlin Clark, with Angel Reese, with Cardozo, and here's the odds to win Rookie of the Year. It's still a runaway race by Caitlin Clark. You could see that obviously Angel Reese is at plus 500. The injury to Cameron Brink has brought her down. It's really a two-horse race. There is value there still with Angel Reese if she continues to be double-doubles. But I don't see, unless Caitlin Clark gets hurt, her usage rate is going to be so damn high, she's going to win Rookie of the Year. But with Angel Reese, with Cardozo, with Rakia Jackson, with Aaliyah Edwards, with J.C. Shelton getting double figures her last two games with the Dallas Wings, and then that next crop of players coming in next year led by Paige Beckers, the WNBA is right where they need to be as an or as a league. They got to clean up the schedule. They got to make sure they get the games in front of the right people. Next year, I don't want to see Caitlin Clark 8 games or 11 games in 20 days. I want her to be spread out. I want you to do the same thing to Paige Beckers. The league is on the upswing. I just hope we keep it about basketball and nothing else. Let's end today's podcast by talking in the W still, as now the best record in the WNBA belong to the New York Liberty. A Liberty team that is playing so well offensively. A Liberty team that has won, I think at one point, I think they probably won, I'm going to say 4-2 they were. I think they've won like 11 out of 12, if I'm not mistaken. Their only loss was a 99-93 loss at Phoenix. And the amazing thing, folks, they've been playing it a lot without their point guard, their floor general, Courtney Vandersloot. Simply put, I know I've known this. I'm not even going to call her a kid because she's 26 years old. I have long been a Sabrina Ionescu fan. And I've seen Sab. I remember telling the story of me going out to Oregon in 2018 and visiting my good friends Xavi Lopez, Mark Campbell, and obviously the head coach Kelly Graves. All three are good friends and you know, just good people, great coaches, but better people. And I remember watching Sab playing red light, green light. Simply put, three-point line, NBA three. You keep shooting until you miss two in a row. And the girl went for about 20 minutes. And the thing that I've found disrespectful about Sab lately is everybody's talking Caitlin Clark. Folks, Sab was Caitlin Clark before Caitlin Clark. And Sab got robbed of a national championship, folks, because of COVID. I firmly believe the Oregon Ducks would have won that championship. I'm still mad because that got canceled, and the Final Four was in New Orleans, and I couldn't go because of COVID. I'm still mad about it. I'll get to a Final Four. Shout out to my man Kenny Pinnell, a.k.a. KP. KP, hit me up, man. I got to get down to your Final Four party next year. But when you think about the last, I'm going to say, since the Commissioner's Cup game that she had on the 6th against Connecticut, 25-3-5, 19-6-8, 15-12-3, 19-8-7, 31-9-2, 24-9-6, 26-11-3. She is playing balls out. But then you look at the secretly, the like, is anybody having a more quiet season right now than Breanna Stewart? Breanna Stewart is nowhere near the MVP talk because Asia Wilson's damn well ran away with it. Stewie's still giving you 19.6, 8.4, 4 assists per game, 2.2 steals. And the problem with Stewie had been is Stewie had not been shooting the ball well from three. She's only shooting it at 25.3%, but she shot it better as of late. And then you go to the girl in the middle. Double J. Ha-ha! That's a Jeff Jarrett quote if you guys don't know anything about wrestling. Jonquel Jones. 6'6". Former MVP in this league. Getting you 16.8, 8.8. And when you think about some of the big games for the Liberty, when they win, you got to go with Double J. How about that 90-82 win that they had over Phoenix when she went 34-8? How about the fact that she's got double-doubles the last two games? Now, they're missing Benaja Laney Hamilton, should be back any day, and they're missing Sloot. So you look at me and saying, Coach, oh my goodness, Liberty going to win the championship. I can't bet them. I love Stewie. I know her mentor and a very, 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 very dear friend of mine. I said some of my kids I trained to play AAU for him, Kevin Lynch of the Philadelphia Rise. One of the best, shout out to Kevin, one of the best AAU organizations in the country. If your kid lives in the East Coast, tri-state area, New York, New Jersey, Delaware, Connecticut, you want your kid to play AAU basketball for the women's side? Yeah. Call up Kevin Lynch. Tell him Coach Young sent you. But I still can't take them. As much as I know and seen Stewie and what she can do, how much I've known Sab, right? Seeing what JJ can do, seeing what Benaj Laney can do, what Vanderbilt's done over her career, how great of a coach Sandy Bordello is, I still can't take him over the Aces. And I know they have a win over the Aces. Simply put, the point guard is back. Chelsea Gray. And she is, as much as Asia Wilson you could think is the most valuable, I'm going to tell you Chelsea Gray is the most important. She's indispensable. Her ability to control the game on both sides of the floor. That's why right now, since they've been back, she's been back. Remember, she didn't play the Liberty game. First two games back, 11-point win over Seattle. The Seattle team just beat Connecticut by 11 yesterday. And also 11-point win over Connecticut. And you'll see, they'll start to rank this up. They don't have a tough game in their schedule until July 10th. At Chicago, at Washington, home Indiana, home Mystics, at the Sparks, home Dallas, and then they're at Seattle July 10th. Circle this game down right now, August 17th, 4 p.m. East Coast time, Liberty at the Aces. That is going to be the one to watch. Right now, as much as I love the Liberty, how they're playing, best team in the WNBA, until they knock them off, it's the Las Vegas Aces. This has been episode 63 of the Betting Above the Rim podcast. For all things sports gambling, I mean, actually all things sports, just download that Sports Grid app. Pre-game, in-game, post-game, props, predictions, and more from the very best in the sports gambling industry. And I got to note that I got to do a better job of putting out my scouting reports in the WNBA on that app. I will tell you this. If you followed me the last 3 days, I've hit 11 straight WNBA games. Just saying. For my producer, Matty George, Vinny, who always does a great job with the graphics, we'll be back with the next Betting Above the Rim podcast soon. Remember, it's smarter to be on Sports Grid.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.